Devasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from Canto 5, Chapter 11. Chapter is entitled Jadbar Instructs King Rahugana. This is text number 6. Dukam sukam vyati viriktam chativram. Dukam sukam vyati viriktam chativram. Kalo papanam phalam apyanapti. Kalo papanam phalam apyanapti. Alingya maya vichitanna tatra. Alingya mayam rachitanna taratma. Swadehinam samsrita chakrakutaha. Swadehinam samsrita chakrakutaha. Dukam sukam vyati riktam chativram. Kalo papanam phalam apyanakti. Alingya maya rachitantaratma. Swadehinam samsrita chakrakutaha. Dukam, unhappiness due to impious activities. Sukam, happiness due to pious activities. Vyatiriktam, illusion. Cha, also. Tivram, very severe. Kala upapanam, obtained in the course of time. Phalam, the resultant action. Avyanakti, creates. Alingya, embracing. Maya rachita, created by material nature. Anta atma, the mind. Swadehinam, the living being himself. Samsriti, of the actions and reactions of material existence. Chakrakutaha, which deceives the living entity into the wheel. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The materialistic mind, covering the living entity's soul, carries it to different species of life. This is called continual material existence. Due to the mind, the living entity suffers or enjoys material distress and happiness. Being thus illusioned, the mind further creates pious and impious activities and their karma, and thus the soul becomes conditioned. Please repeat, the materialistic mind, covering the living entity's soul, carries it to different species of life. This is called continued material existence. Due to the mind, the living entity suffers or enjoys material distress and happiness. Being thus illusioned, the mind further creates pious and impious activities and their karma, and thus the soul becomes conditioned. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Mental activities under the influence of material nature cause happiness and distress within the material world. Being covered by illusion, the living entity eternally continues conditional life under different designations. Such living entities are known as Nityabhata, eternally conditioned. On the whole, the mind is the cause of conditional life. Therefore, the entire yogic process is meant to control the mind and the senses. If the mind is controlled, the senses are automatically controlled. Therefore, the soul is saved from the reactions of pious and impious activity. If the mind is engaged at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, Savai Mana Krishna Padara Vindayo, the senses are automatically engaged in the Lord's service. When the mind and senses are engaged in devotional service, the living entity naturally becomes Krishna conscious. As soon as one always thinks of Krishna, he becomes a perfect yogi, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Yoginam api sarvesham madgaten atmanaha. This antaratma, the mind, is conditioned by material nature. As stated here, maya rachitat raratma Swadehinam samsritin chakrakutaha. The mind, being most powerful, covers the living entity and puts him in the waves of material existence. End of purport. Om agyan timirandasya kena jana selakaya chaksu unmilitam yena tasmai sri gurave namaha sri chaitanya manobhistam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadammayam dadanti svam padantikam. Jai Sri Krishna, Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This chapter, instructions by Judd Bard to King Rahugana, seems to be dealing with one aspect of philosophical teachings, the nature of the mind. It's a short chapter. It's a very condensed explanation and teachings of the nature of the mind. The mind is the seat of all emotions, the seat of all desires. It's not the brain. The scientists sometimes mistakenly think, or most usually mistakenly think, that the mind and the brain is the same thing. But there have been cases where people have taken birth and the brain is defective, but yet still the living entity continues. So actually the mind is part of the subtle body, not the gross body. The brain is part of the gross body. So here, we're hearing about how the mind, when it becomes covered by the material energy, causes one to think and act in a certain way. And this is called conditional life. This conditional life keeps the living entity bound up by activities which bring about various types of results, either good, bad, or pious or impious or mixed, either one according to one's desires and activities under the influence of the material energy. So in this purport, Prabhupada explains that actually this is the cause of material existence, the materialistic mind. And Krishna dedicates a whole section of his teachings, which is known as the sixth chapter, to explaining what is the nature of the mind and how to control the mind and how to engage the mind in devotional service. In one verse, after explaining everything, Arjuna says, "You're asking me to control the mind, but I think you're asking me to control the wind." He compares that type of control to be impossible. And Krishna somewhat conditionally agrees with him and says, "Yes, you're right, but actually it's possible." And he gives the formula. Abhyasena tukunteya vairagyena chagrihate. When the mind is detached from sense activity and engaged in devotional service, then the mind can be controlled. Only then. And Srila Prabhupada has emphasized this point over and over again in his books, how that by engaging the mind in devotional service, the mind, this is the only way to control the mind. But then he gives other considerations also, that by simply but regularly meditating on the instructions of the spiritual master and meditating on how to carry those instructions out, the mind becomes controlled. Of course, that is the feature of engaging in devotional service, because the instructions of the spiritual master is the way we understand how to perform devotional service. Otherwise, we're accepting and rejecting based on what we like or don't like, or what we think is right or what we think is wrong. But going deep into that principle, one has to absorb themselves in that consciousness to constantly think of how to engage, to execute the instructions of the spiritual master. And automatically, the mind and senses become controlled. It's very difficult, as Arjuna says, to control the mind. The mind is restless, turbulent, very strong, he says, and it's impossible. It's like controlling the wind. And we see just so many examples in the scriptures, just a slight deviation of the mind, and how great souls have stumbled in the path of devotional service. Of course, we have the example of how Ajamil, brought up in a very good Brahmin family, trained well in his Brahminical activities, but somehow just became a little deviated by something that was unusual for him to see in public, a prostitute and a low-class man embracing. And that one incident just sparked the desire to fulfill a desire that was there. And his whole life became, we say, changed. So how easy it is for the mind to become, what we say, deviated. The conditioned soul has material desires, but the material desires can be subliminated under the influence of devotional service. And as one purifies the heart and mind through devotional service, then the material desires go. But it's a constant practice. It's not like, well, I've done it for 30 years. I mean, it means that I've successfully done it. Prabhupada would say, well, how many lifetimes have you been in the material energy? How many lifetimes have we associated with the material energy? How deep that conditioning actually goes. Like cleansing the heart, cleansing the mind is almost like, we use the analogy, it's like washing coal. The more you wash it, the more you see how dirty it actually is. So this feature of understanding helps one to become very careful in association with the material energy. And always, as Prabhupada said, always remember Krishna. In another lecture he says, you have to think of something. The mind's business is to think, to will, to think, feel, and will. This is the function of the mind. To think about something, to get a feeling for something, and according to that feeling, accepting or rejecting. But therefore, practicing thinking of devotional service, the instructions of the spiritual master, and thinking of Krishna actually keeps the mind controlled. But still, the mind is very restless. In association with the sense objects, it becomes deviated sometimes. Therefore, as we were hearing yesterday from Prahladananda Maharaj, it's important to really develop strong intelligence. When the intelligence isn't strong, then the mind can become what we say controlled by the power of intelligence. Because the intelligence, as Srila Rupa Goswami explains, sits right next to the soul. And the intelligence keeps the soul connected to the Supreme Soul in devotional service, not the mind. The mind will go off just by situations, easy, but the intelligence, therefore, sometimes devotees would ask Prabhupada, I don't have any intelligence, what do I do? Or my intelligence is weak. He would say, well, take Krishna's intelligence, or take the instructions of the spiritual master, which is the feature of what we say complete and perfect intelligence, and apply that to every situation. And this is devotional service. This is the excess of devotional service. So it's a struggle to keep the mind and senses controlled. But as the intelligence becomes purified and one becomes fixed in the process of devotional service, then the mind becomes naturally controlled or easily controlled. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita what are some of the features of a controlled mind. It's in the 16th chapter. I'm sorry, 17th chapter. He describes that satisfaction, simplicity, gravity, purification of one's existence, and sense control, mind and sense control, is the features of how one should practice sense control. And the first one is satisfaction. The nature of the conditioned mind, it's always dissatisfied. Always dissatisfied. That's the nature of the mind, because on the material level, one can never be satisfied with anything. Even if some satisfaction comes, it easily goes. That's the nature of the conditioned mind. But one has to cultivate the principle of satisfaction. How is that done? By accepting whatever Krishna gives. Sometimes we become, what we say, unsatisfied or unhappy. I deserve this, or this is not happening, this is not right, this is not right, she's not right, he's not right, I'm not right. Nothing's right. The material mind is always going from one type of dissatisfaction to another type of dissatisfaction. So one has to learn to become satisfied. How do we become satisfied? Of course, engaging in devotional service. But we can cultivate the conception that whatever is happening to me is by the arrangement of the Lord. Therefore, I should be satisfied by what the Lord gives or does not give. This is a way to begin to help one become satisfied. And it's true, because the Lord is taking through the agency of the spiritual energy, is giving the living entity exactly what they deserve when they deserve it, accordingly. Nothing happens by chance. Chance means I don't know. Prabhupada never liked this word, chance. He always say, chance means I don't know. But there is a reason why everything happens the way it happens. Even if it's hard to understand why it happens the way it happens, still there is some understanding. Of course, one should apply their intelligence to understand things and to act accordingly. Not that everything is accepted in a favorable way. One should accept and reject according to what is favorable or unfavorable for one's devotional service. But unfavorable things come along as an opportunity to help us become more, what we say, develop tolerance, patience, humility, and the qualities that make up the mode of goodness which allows one to engage in devotional service. And that way one can see things in that way and reject them as, or accept them as an opportunity to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada goes on to explain the different features of satisfaction of the mind, such as purification of one existence. He explains purifications of one existence simply means to become Krishna conscious. Or, he says, to work for the welfare of others. Actually, in another place, he explains that one should be, that's one's constant consciousness, that one should think of how to serve and how to assist others. Because the tendency of the conditioned soul is to focus on one's own existence. It's the tendency, because it's part of our conditioned nature to think in terms of what is happening or what is not happening, or what I'm getting or what I'm not getting, or this or that. But one is thinking of the welfare of others. Actually, there was a survey that was taken a few years ago in the United States. And they were trying to determine who are the happiest people. Of course, it was a materialistic survey. And thinking, of course, we understand that by material definition, there's no question of happiness. Or spiritual definition, there's no question of material happiness. But using that principle, they came up with two interesting characteristics or qualities of a person who's happy materially. And that is, they're always active, they're very active, and they're always doing something for someone else. Others engaged in, you know, philanthropic or welfare, humanitarian activities. So there's some kind of, what we say, satisfaction and happiness that comes by serving others, even in the material sense. But we understand that in the spiritual sense, that is the whole process of bhakti. To serve Krishna, to serve Krishna's devotees, and to assist in others in the process of coming to Krishna consciousness and practicing Krishna consciousness. So it's another feature of helping to control the mind and senses. But the mind is always giving trouble. Therefore, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that there's only one enemy, it's the mind. It's one's friend and one's enemy. When Hiranyakashipu was rebuking Prahlad Maharaj in so many ways, and Prahlad was preaching to his father, Prahlad mentioned Vishnu, that, oh, where do you get your power from? And he said, where everyone gets their power from, where you get your power from, rascal, from Vishnu. And Hiranyakashipu said, Vishnu, he's my enemy. You're siding with my enemy. And Prahlad just said, my dear father, the only enemy is your own mind. And then he explained, friends and enemies are simply created on a material, on a mental level. So this idea of, of course, we might take that principle to another level or angle of discussion. What is the enemy, really? It's our material attachments, our material desires, which is a feature of the mind. And therefore, when they're unfulfilled, we see others as enemies and friends. If someone is fulfilling my material desires, that's a friend, and someone is not, that person is what we say, person non grata, someone who is not on my side or giving me some difficulty. So therefore, this concept of friends and enemies, as explained by Prahlad Maharaj, is actually the feature of the conditioned mind. Accepting, rejecting. So by cultivating these qualities mentioned in the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, satisfaction, simplicity. What does simplicity mean? Simplicity is a feature of humility. It means to accept what is necessary for devotional service and not more. If one goes beyond that principle and tries to live beyond their needs or beyond their means, then it's very hard to become satisfied, because Krishna may or may not provide. And even if he does provide, one cannot necessarily find satisfaction in that. So simplicity helps, allows one to control the mind and senses, because it allows one to live according to their needs in order to execute devotional service. And the devotee is simple too. The opposite of simplicity is duplicity, or what we say, diplomacy, using certain means to bring about one's desires that are not what we say. As Prabhupada explains in that same purport, a devotee is straightforward. What you see is what you get. That's a devotee. Not like there's something here and then there's something else in the background, like that. One time I heard this story, because I heard this, that devotees wanted to, this back in the days when Srila Prabhupada was physically present, they wanted to see what Prabhupada did when he was in his quarters by himself. So maybe you heard this story. One devotee looked through the keyhole of Prabhupada's room to see what Prabhupada was doing. And when he looked through, all he could see was an eye on the other side. Prabhupada was looking back through the keyhole. So they gave up that idea. But it was an attempt to see, well, what is the spiritual, is he like, he's like this, and then maybe is there something else. But another time there was some success, and there was some camera put, and they saw Prabhupada doing what he normally does, just chants Hare Krishna, or he was translating. A devotee is what we say, straightforward, simple, without pretense, and just is honest. Now, sometimes we, in our association with the non-devotees, we have to come on in such a way that they can accept. But it's not duplicity, and it's not cheating. It's done in such a way as to bring about some communication in order to bring, to give the mercy of Krishna consciousness. It's not for oneself like that. It's not for oneself. So straightforward and ordinary dealings, it's also one of the features of Bhava Bhakti. There are qualities of those situated on that platform, straightforward and ordinary dealings, all dealings. It's not like you become so straightforward that you tell everybody, well, you're in Maya. Not that kind of straightforward. It's not that you become offensive in order to point out something that is apparently, you know, true. That's not the idea for straightforward. Straightforward means simple. Simple in one's dealings like that. And gravity, Prabhupada talks about that. He says one should practice thinking of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, contemplate philosophical teachings, and also think about the Supreme Personality of Godhead within one's mind and heart like that. There was a Back in 1970, I think 73 or 74, Prabhupada was in New Vrindavan. And there's that one picture of Srila Prabhupada when he had taken his sannyas order, and he's got the danda, and he's very, very grave, very grave. And one devotee said to Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, I have this one picture of you, and I show it to my friends, and they say, 'Why is your spiritual master so unhappy? He looks so unhappy.'" And the devotee said to Prabhupada, "And I tell my friends, well, actually he's happy because people are suffering from birth, death, disease, and old age. And that's why he's unhappy." So that's the indication of the picture I see. Prabhupada said, "Let me see the picture." Prabhupada looked at it. He said, "Oh, that was one of my happiest moments." So the point was that one can never tell the mind of one who is actually practicing gravity like that, one who is grave. So that's a feature of practicing mind control, to think about Krishna, to think about devotional service, to contemplate philosophical teachings, and to also to reflect on one's own practice of devotional service. What do I need to progress? What do I need to move forward in my spiritual practice like that? Devotee is thoughtful. Prabhupada mentions that. And again, controlling the mind and senses, as he explains, that one should practice thinking of the welfare of others, thinking about the instructions of the spiritual master and engaging. But the mind is still restless. Therefore, in one lecture, Prabhupada said, one should never trust the mind. And then he goes on to say, where this is written, it is not known, but it is current. The previous acharyas have said that this is the nature of the mind, that one should never trust it. Sometimes devotees, and we see it in our own selves, that when you're seemingly moving nicely in Krishna consciousness, you get a little self-confident, or you get a little overconfident, and then one can be a little careless, and then Maya takes the opportunity. So therefore, one should always, Prabhupada says, never trust the mind, always distrust. In other words, be careful on how to engage the mind, especially in contact with the objects of the senses. One should be very careful, because a little deviation in that way, then one, again, the mind can be dragged into the material level. And especially in Kali Yuga, where the materialistic society is such that there is such an opportunity for the mind to become deviated at every minute. At every second, the mind becomes deviated. So one should be very careful. And then in one purport, Prabhupada says that one should, he said it a few times, that one should beat the mind with shoes 100 times when you get up, and 100 times at night with a broomstick. He keeps quoting Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. So what does that mean? Does that mean you literally get up and you take a shoe and you start beating your mind? It may not work, and it's may not be a good idea either, because you need your mind to chant. So beating the mind, in other words, that at that time of the day, the early morning hours, and also late in the evening, the tendency is the mind becomes more restless. So therefore, one should engage more in chanting and hearing very carefully. Always keep that mind, what we say, connected. And Srila Prabhupada also has given other formulas to think of the lotus feet of the Lord. It's like we come every day to the temple just to take darshan of the deity, to get the mercy of the Lord in different ways. His mercy is his appearance. And his transcendental lotus feet are actually the means to focus our consciousness on devotional service. And Prabhupada says in one way that if one thinks of the lotus feet of the Lord, in all circumstances, one will never be defeated in anything they do. Of course, that meditation is a practice, but it can be. Krishna consciousness is cultivation of the things that are positive and very carefully avoiding things that lead us away in devotional service. Therefore, anukulena pratikul, the two symptoms of surrender in devotional service. What is favorable, what is not favorable. Sometimes new devotees, they learn the favorable, but they get tripped up on what is not favorable. Well, of course, we all do sometimes. But that is the tendency. But one should very, very carefully keep the mind engaged in devotional service. Make the mind, what we say, satisfied. Bhaktisiddhanta emphasizes how powerful the mind is. He says, the mind is a non-devotee. That's what he says. It's a non-devotee. So make a purport out of that. If you associate with your mind, you're associating with what? You're not supposed to do that, right? We're supposed to associate with devotees. So therefore, we have to preach to the mind and make the mind a devotee. Keep that mind engaged in devotional service. So these are some simple principles. I'm sure all of you know these principles. But it's nice to go over. And Prabhupada mentions in the very last verse of this chapter, he says there's one very effective way to control the mind. It's in the first line of the purport of the last verse. And he says, learn how to neglect it. Learn how to say, it's always telling us, do this, 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 this. Learn how to say no to the mind. The mind should be used and not should use the soul. The mind has taken the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it usurps, or what we say, interferes with the soul's connection, the conditioned mind, that is, with the soul's connection with the Supreme Soul. So practice neglecting the mind also, and saying no to the mind's demands. Not that we say no to devotees. Therefore, the process comes again, anukulenam pratikula, what to say yes to and what to say no to. But Maya sometimes looks like Krishna. And that's when it becomes the subtle aspects of the material energy are sometimes very hard to determine. And when one somehow sees things in the wrong way or by one's own conditioned nature, one sees something that is favorable that is not. Just like if you know you're going to be, what we say, weakened in a particular situation that you put yourself in, and you carefully avoid that situation in order not to become weakened or become tripped up in devotional service. Now, many of you are book distributors, and how do you do that? Because you're in constant contact with the material energy and materialistic people, and you have to bring Krishna consciousness to them without becoming affected by what they are about. And therefore, one should keep good sadhana. If you keep good sadhana, carefully chanting your rounds every day, reading Srila Prabhupada's books, and practice, you know, associating with devotees regularly. Sometimes, if we're not regularly associating with devotees, when we associate with the non-devotees, we also think that this is nice. We find that association with non-devotees to be a substitute for the desire for association. But if we have nice relationships with the devotees in order to get in, then we see that the non-devotees is simply an opportunity to give Krishna consciousness. As Prabhupada says, we give them our association. We don't take their association. That is association. Association means to give Krishna consciousness, give spiritual direction to others and not take what they have to offer. And that takes practice, of course. Okay, so any questions, comments on anything? No questions. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.